This is MMA Torch editor Jamie Pennick, joined by Torch senior columnist Sean Ennis for a review of UFC 87 live from the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, Sean, I was there live last night at the Target Center along with Wade Keller, and I took in the pay-per-view broadcast here this afternoon. What were your overall thoughts on the show and the Minnesota crowd?
I thought it was a real good show. I was very impressed by the crowd, especially in the McDonald Maia match, the opening fight. There was a real good reaction for all the grappling, which you don't get everywhere. And they were very enthusiastic throughout the night. I thought they were a great crowd. I guess there was a big Canadian contingent there too, which makes sense. And the card itself was really good, very very solid.
Yeah, I know. Seeing the pay-per-view broadcast, obviously the mic work for the crowd just does not do justice to how rabid that place was throughout most of the night. It really started with the Czech Congo Dan Evanson fight on the undercard, and just it just continued to build. Huerta, Lesnar, and GSP just got insane reactions from the crowd, and It came off well on pay-per-view, but not nearly to the extent that the live crowd sounded. But yeah, as you we'll touch on that fight first, our opening fight, Demian Maia against Jason McDonald. That was just a great, great ground-based fight. Maia was extremely impressive in taking Jason McDonald's game and using it against him, and just outclassing him on the ground. And I thought it was a great job in that third round using those punches to kind of push McDonald's head in there to lock in that that forearm under the chin and pick up that choke. So that was a great way to open the show.
Yeah, for sure. That first round was a classic. I was very impressed by McDonald, how he was actually, pursuing the fight on the ground. I thought for sure he was gonna want to stay away from that, but, even almost locking in a rear naked choke and getting a pretty tight guillotine at one point, very impressive. And escaping that triangle, which Joe Rogan called, he said, this is it, that's going to be it. And then McDonald got out of it, and he passed into half guard a couple of times. And, very impressive by McDonald. I thought he acquitted himself very well, but Maia, you're right, was just another league. But really good fight, really good way to open up the card.
Yeah, definitely. And McDonald's got to be given a lot of credit for surviving that first round and that triangle, getting out of it. And he took a ton of punishment. And I noted this in my daily audio update that I recorded at 3 in the morning this morning. but I saw Jason McDonald a few times walking back and forth through the crowd after his fight, and he took a ton of punishment. His face was pretty messed up from some of those punches that he took from Maia on the ground, but he put up a lot of fight, and we got it to the third round there. It was a really good fight. Speaking of good fights, Roger Huerta against Kenny Florian, one of the most highly anticipated fights for this card. And for me, it seemed like Huerta didn't have an answer for Kenny Florian in this fight. He said in his post-fight press conference, he wasn't prepared for Kenny's footwork and his movement in the octagon, and you got to give Kenny a lot of credit. This was a great fight for him, and he employed a great strategy throughout to kind of let Roger be the aggressor, and then he just picked his spots, and he kind of picked Roger apart throughout this fight and picked up a great win.
Yeah, I agree. I was a little bit underwhelmed by the fight itself. I was really looking forward to it. I did give it 3 stars. It was a good fight, but I was expecting, the thing I was disappointed with was, I think a lot of people expected Kenny Florian to do exactly what he did. So I was a little disappointed that Roger Huerta didn't expect that. He waited for Roger to attack him. And Huerta just comes in, like he does, aggressively and a little bit wild at times, but that's a style that really works well against a lot of his former opponents. But Kenny Florian is just a different kind of fighter. And, it didn't seem like Huerta really had the game plan to counter that, whereas Florian just had the perfect game plan for Huerta. Huerta just played right into his hands. But it was still a good fight, and Huerta, you know, he's the kind of guy that's never going to give up, and he's always going to be fighting. So, he got caught a couple of times and, never backed down. So it was a good fight, but I was hoping for a little bit more offense or a little bit more ability out of Huerta to get inside with Florian.
Well, and I saw that too. That's kind of what I was thinking during this fight, because it just looked like something was off for Huerta, and watching the pay-per-view broadcast of it this afternoon, you could definitely tell that he wasn't prepared for what Kenny was bringing to him, and it was just the fight was brought up for me star-wise based on the crowd reaction to the fight and how exciting it was live. But I can see how it came across as a little less than that on the pay-per-view broadcast. But that second round and the first 2 minutes or so of the third round were just amazingly exciting, especially live. The opening minute of the third round was insane. If Huerta would have fought like that for the first two rounds, it would have been a different fight. But just an exciting fight live, especially with the crowd reaction that Huerta had all night. That was a great one to watch live, but yeah, just Huerta seemed off, and it was kind of disappointing out of him.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Like you were talking about earlier with the crowd not being mic'd as well. I think that's something that has been the case with a lot of UFC events. Like when I went to I saw UFC 77 in Cincinnati when Franklin fought Anderson Silva for the second time, and when I got home and watched that pay-per-view, I mean, you couldn't even hear Franklin's entrance music. It was so loud. But when you got, when you watch that broadcast, that really doesn't come across. And I think that's something that, the UFC could really work on their broadcast, because it makes it so much more exciting to watch.
Well, that was the case here. As Bruce Buffer was doing the announcement for Roger Huerta here, before he even got to fighting out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, the crowd had swelled to a point where I couldn't hear Bruce Buffer in the arena.
Yeah.
You got some of that taste on the pay-per-view broadcast, but not nearly to the extent that it was live in the building. Next up, we had Robert Emerson against Manny Gambirian. Live, I didn't actually get to see this fight because someone had stood up right in front of me, and it took a whole 12 seconds for this one to be over. So it was total replay seeing, but that's about all you needed to see. Emerson just dropped Gambirian with a great punch right on the button. Manny came out way too aggressive, got himself caught, and Emerson went down and swung his entire body weight to get up on top and just landed that left hook. That was nasty. Nasty knockout, quite a unique knockout. That'll be one of those that'll catch on those best of vids, just based on the uniqueness of it, from him swinging his body up from a kneeled position. So good knockout for Emerson, quick fight.
yeah. The weird thing about this fight is really that it was on the main card. I think that the UFC is really looking to build up Gambirian, but I don't know. He came out like he was going to strike with Emerson, which was just silly. Slinging his arms all around and his head straight up in the air, and nothing protected him, and boy, he sure paid for it.
See, and I thought it was actually smart placement for this fight on the main card, because with the reaction that Huerta got and then the reaction that Lesnar got right after that, you had to have something in between there to give the crowd rest. And
I thought they could have. Instead of showing this fight, though, showing something like Kumo McCrory, even, or like I can't even think of something else that would have shown, but something else.
Yeah, well, they could have tossed something in there. I noted this in my daily audio update. The four fights that weren't shown, the prelims, were okay. We had a nice submission from Ben Saunders, but then we had a nut shot laden fight between Guzmão and John Jones. they're separate groin shots in that fight, and the crowd was getting a little restless about it. And then Ryan Thomas getting beat by Chris Wilson by decision. Thomas got took a knee to the gut about 2 minutes into the second round that just completely took any gas he had left away from him, and he just kind of grinded out the last. So really there wasn't anything on the undercard that would have been much better in this spot. And then they showed the Czech Congo fight anyway, so I thought it was fine here on the main card with what happened in the fights before it. So it worked for me here.
Which is good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of the Czech Congo fight, I believe that was the next one that aired on the pay-per-view. Dan Evanson was overmatched here. He was outclassed by Czech Congo. It was just a feeder opponent for Czech, and great. It wasn't much of a fight until the last 45 seconds or so, and yeah. Congo had some nice kicks to a downed Evanson, and as he got back up, got another kick, and then the knockout punch, and just a barrage of punches to make the stoppage at 5 seconds left in the round. So good showing from Czech, and he's back on his road after losing to Herring. So your thoughts on that fight?
Yeah, I thought Congo looked really good when he was striking, and I always wonder why he takes so long to strike, but at the same time, it is nice to see him work out his a bit rudimentary but still improving ground game. You know, he was working the takedowns against Evanson, and Evanson, you know, had nothing for him the whole time. But, you know, Congo's groundwork is still pretty sloppy, so if he's going to work it in a real fight, it's best to work it, against an opponent like Evanson. But once he started going for strikes, it was pretty much over. I mean, the first punch he caught him with flush was enough to pretty much end the fight. So
now we had our co-main event of the evening here, Brock Lesnar against Heath Herring, and I gave my thoughts. I gave a lot of my thoughts on the Daily Audio Update last night, so I'd like to hear your thoughts on this fight and how it came across live on pay-per-view for you. Because the crowd reactions for Lesnar were the exact opposite of what he got in February against Frank Mir, obviously being against in his hometown here. But all I got to say is Brock Lesnar's legit. That's all I can say about this fight.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, it's very interesting the dynamic between the two fights here. You've got, you know, he's fighting Frank Mir in Mir's hometown in Vegas, and also, you know, Vegas gets a lot of the hardcores in there, and a lot of the hardcores are not willing to welcome a guy that was in pro wrestling before. But you know, you go to Minnesota, where he's obviously where Lesnar's from, and gets a monster ovation. He's got people chanting his name during the fight. I thought it was great how he's milking the reaction during the fight. You know, he's riding Harry and nodding his head while they're chanting his name. I thought that was great. But as you said, Lesnar is for real, and that is bad news for the heavyweight division in the UFC, because, man, if this guy can take a punch, and I have a feeling he can. It looked like Herring caught him with a couple of shots, and he still, you know, didn't react to him. But if he can really take a punch, this is he's going to be around for a long time. I mean, the first shot that he landed made Herring do a backflip. I mean, you know, he's got so much power, and his hands are so huge, and his wrestling is so good. You can't move the guy if he doesn't want to be moved. I don't know. The thing is, I don't know who he fights next, because the UFC is paying him so much that he's got to be fighting big names. But, you know, he's not ready for a title shot. So what does he do? Maybe he fights Mark Coleman next, to get that matchup going. Or maybe, I don't know who else there is outside of Nogueira. I mean, he's got Mir, he's got Herring. You know, what other big names are there in the UFC? I'm not thinking of someone.
Well, and that's the problem right now with the UFC heavyweight division. You just pointed it out there. They don't have many people to put in his way right now. Dana made it clear in the post-fight press conference. I mean, yeah, he's had three fights. He's not anywhere near a title shot, and Brock wasn't trying to make any claims to the thing. Brock said all the right things in the press conference, I feel. You know, he's just talking about how he's just trying to continually evolve. And when asked what he needed to do better, he said everything. he knows he's got to improve on everything. And it's just scary that with his third MMA fight, that he dominated a guy who's had upwards of 40 fights in his career.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I mean, just great strategy out of the gate. He knew Herring was looking for a shoot, and he faked it and came in with that right, and Herring was not ready for it. So that's what I found laughable about Herring's comments, talking about how he's faced better wrestlers than and more accomplished wrestlers than Brock Lesnar. Yeah, name one.
Yeah, I mentioned that in my coverage. I thought, you know, yeah, he's faced a big guy. You know, Tom Erickson was a very, very big guy, but nowhere near as accomplished as Brock Lesnar, as far as I can tell, anyway. Enough about Erickson, but I mean, Lesnar is a different animal as far as that goes. I mean, he's got a base to where you're not going to be able to move him. And not to mention, you know, just he can just manhandle people.
Well, the superiority to Heath Herring's ground that Lesnar showed today, I mean, he completely controlled Herring's body throughout the entire fight.
Yeah.
I mean, he had his way with him. And, I mean, a lot of people are looking at the fact that he didn't finish the fight. He had mount a couple of times, could have done some more with it. The way I looked at it live and I made comments after the show, you know, he didn't want to make a mistake in this fight. You know, he knew he was winning it. He was content with just continually pounding and dominating Herring. Rogan made the comment during the broadcast about that, about how, I mean, he doesn't need to go for the finish. Not all guys like to. He can sit and pound on the guy for three rounds and dish out punishment, which he did with those knees. That was some of the hardest stuff to watch. Just the knees to the gut and to the kidneys and to the back and the shoulder. It just how Herring was breathing in that third round. It just escapes me. But I mean, clearly dominant performance by Lesnar, and he clearly showed everyone that he belongs in this game. So great stuff.
Yeah, you might see a couple comparisons on message boards or something between what Lesnar did and what Jake O'Brien did. But this was not, you know, this was not, first of all, the same Heath Herring. Heath Herring came into that O'Brien fight, you know, out of shape, and O'Brien basically just took him down and laid on the whole time. But Lesnar just put a beat down on Herring and was able to control him. Herring tried to escape and couldn't, you know, and Lesnar just kept going back to that position where he was comfortable. He was able to get it to that position over and over again. He was in side control. He was in mount a couple of times. But, I mean, you don't do that. You just don't do that to Heath Herring. And it'd be a fluke. I mean, Lesnar's going to cause a lot of trouble for some people in there, and it's going to be really interesting to see who he fights next.
Absolutely. Our main event of the evening: George Rush St. Pierre defending the welterweight title against John Fitch. Only George's second title defense, and we all know how his first one went down. So he's determined not to let that happen again. And wow, what a fight this was for me live, especially. But it came off well on the pay-per-view. John Fitch is a survivor. The man is insane that he can take the amount of punishment he took in this fight. And George St. Pierre is just a different animal. So I don't even know what to say anymore about this fight. I mean, we got five rounds here of action. I thought it was a better five-round title fight than Quentin Jackson and Forrest Griffin, at least more exciting title fight. And John Fitch showed a lot of heart in taking the punishment he did. And George St. Pierre just showed why he is above and beyond the best welterweight. And behind Anderson Silva, probably the next best pound-for-pound fighter. In my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I still have Jackson Griffin rated a little bit higher, but St. Pierre is just on a different planet. I mean, when you get St. Pierre coming in like this, no one's beating him. No one is beating him. BJ Penn is not beating him. You know, Diego Sanchez, Thiago Alves, nobody's beating George St. Pierre when he's on this level. It's like an Anderson Silva, you know, except for the point whereas Silva can drop you with a punch and finish a fight. George St. Pierre can do that, but if he doesn't, it doesn't matter because you're not going to catch him. You know, you can't take him down. He's going to take you down regardless of how good a wrestler you are. and the guy can strike. I mean, the thing that people forget about is his striking. I mean, he punished John Fitch, punished him for five rounds, and Fitch, to his credit, my gosh, the man can take a hellacious beating and come back. I mean, and not only just survived, but was still coming forward in the fifth round. That is insane. You know, you don't see people take this kind of beating and then still come forward. I, you know, let's not forget George St. Pierre stopped Matthews, you know, twice. And Matthews is a tough guy. And Fitch just showed incredible heart, incredible chin, and just courage to stay in there. You know, there lesser fighters would have just sat on the stool in the third round and not come out. But, man, he never stopped. And that's what made this a heck of a fight was, you know, you've got your one-sided beatdowns, but the fact that Fitch was able to weather and able to still, you know, move forward was what made this different.
Well, Fitch's recovery in this fight was second to none. I mean, he took multiple shots that would have knocked out many other fighters.
Yeah.
I believe it was the third round where he took the knee after George went for the high kick, and he kind of staggered him and then came in with the knee and caught him right on the chin, and he immediately recovered. I mean, he took a couple of punches right on the button and went down, but immediately recovered, and that was the story of the fight. So Yves Levine did a great job officiating this fight. I can't say enough good things about his handling of this fight and allowing Fitch to continue, because especially in that first round, I mean, we were all in amazement that Fitch survived the first round, let alone making it to the end of this fight. And you know, I've got a couple of pictures from him at the post-fight press conference, and wow, his face is a sight to behold. It was comical. He early in the press conference, Dana said that that Fitch wanted to come up to the press conference, but they were going to send him to the hospital. And about 25, 30 minutes after that, Fitch came in the room and said, "I'm not going to the hospital. I'm fine. What are you talking about?" But when asked if he thought he hurt GSP, he's like, "I hope so." God, I hope so. And then GSP was asked that later, whether he was hurt or not. He's like, "Well, I don't want to show any weakness. Me and John will have drinks, and I'll tell him then." So it was a good post-fight press conference. Huerta looked just dejected during the post-fight conference, Sean. He was clearly disappointed in himself. I gotta point out one thing about Roger Huerta from the press conference. He gained a lot of respect from him. Wade Keller, in his daily audio update on PWTorch.com, mentioned this last night, but he fielded a question about the retirement plan and stuff, the comments that he had made earlier in the week that Dana had also commented on, the fighter pay, all that stuff. You know, and just stuck to his guns with Dana in the room. It was kind of a tense spot, but, you know, he just explained, "I wasn't talking bad about the UFC. I was just saying, I can only do this for so long. We can only do this for so long." And he equated it to, I mean, if you're a professional in another business and similar work comes along that offers you better benefits and better pay, of course you're going to think about it. You know, so there's a lot of respect for Roger Huerta and his handling of that, but it was an interesting night.
Definitely. You could tell that Huerta was pretty much dejected from the end of the third round, and you know, but really, I think this was a good experience for him, because eventually his style just wasn't going to work against elite level fighters. You know, he's a great fighter, very good fighter. You know, stop Clay Guida, which is very tough to do, but at some point, you know, you have to make adjustments, and I think he learned that during that fight.
Well, Sean, any final thoughts on this show, as well as what's next for some of these top guys after these fights, and then quick look at UFC 88 coming up next month.
Well, I thought the show was very solid, and I think, you know, George St. Pierre, we'll probably see him fight BJ Penn, which should be really a heck of a fight. But I think St. Pierre will win it. And, I mean, Lesnar, I don't know. I don't know what's next for Lesnar, whether he, you know, the only thing I can see immediately is him fighting Mark Coleman, because I just don't know who else is worth the payday that he's going to get. You know, you don't want to put him up against a guy like Shane Carwin or Cain Velasquez, those up-and-comers who have looked, you know, really impressive. And you don't want to put him up against a guy that's making his debut, because you're just paying him too much to do that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. You know, you don't want to put him up against a guy like Czech Congo either, because Congo has no ground game, at least compared to Lesnar. But that's definitely an intriguing storyline coming out of this. As far as Damian Maia, I think they're grooming him for a title shot. So maybe he'll fight, you know, the winner of Neymar Quart and Husamar Pajares. I don't know. Pajares is another guy that they're probably looking at. You know, these submission specialists, they probably want to get him in there with Silva and see if Silva can weather that kind of different attack. Let's see, who else do we have? Florian. Florian, I think, deserves another title shot. I mean, he's worked his way back up, and he's taken out, you know, now he's taken out Roger Huerta in impressive fashion. So I'd like to see him fight BJ Penn. I think that's a good fight. I think Sean Sharp was a really bad matchup for him, but he would pose a very different threat to BJ Penn. I don't know that he would beat him, but he would certainly, I think, make more of a fight out of it. Yeah, Czech Congo. Now, Czech Congo's a guy I could see fighting, you know, your Carwin or Velasquez in kind of a gut check fight for one of those guys. Maybe not Carwin, because he's still pretty green, but maybe Velasquez, or maybe I'm getting those two mixed up. Well, I think one of them only has like four or five fights or something like that. But and as far as UFC 88, you know, you've got Chuck Liddell versus Todd Evans. Meh, that's a fine main event. You know, Chuck Liddell's going to draw regardless of who he's fighting. Rich Franklin and Matt Hamill. I don't know what I think about that fight. I don't know that I like Franklin at 205 just yet. I'd like to see him fight, you know, your Marquardt and your Henderson. So I'm not sure that I'm completely in favor of his move up to 205 if it's permanent. I think the best fight on that card is probably going to be Nate Marquardt and Martin Kampman. Kampman's a guy who is, you know, he's very skilled. I don't know if a lot of people are aware of him. But he's going to pose a real, real threat to Nate Marquardt, and he might just pull that fight off. Dan Henderson and Husamar Pajares is another intriguing fight. Carl Parisian is always a good guy to have on hand when he fights Yoshiyuki Yoshida, who in his debut took out what's the guy's name? The guy that beat Jared Rollins on the fight, on the tough finale, and I've already forgotten his name. but he was a guy that wasn't going to be long for the UFC anyway, and Yoshida will. We'll really get to see what he's made of when he fights Parisian. And I think that's your main storylines going into 88 is going to be your middleweight division. And, you know, obviously if Evans was able to pull off an upset against Liddell, that would be a huge storyline, but I don't see that happening. I think that's pretty much it for now.
All right. Well, Sean, thank you for joining me here once again. And, we'll talk to you soon, and stay tuned to MMATorch.com for continued coverage of the world of MMA and the shows coming up the rest of the month and UFC 88 next month. So thank you again, Sean, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.